Greetings, this is James Gillen with Azure Talk Radio, broadcasting live from beautiful Trout Lake, Washington, where it's damn cold. It's about 20 degrees last night, and it's really dropping, and we do still have campers out there, so, you know, we have to go and thaw them out now and then. But things are really hopping here. We've had quite a few sightings. It's still ongoing. Last night we went out for only about 5 minutes, and it was, as soon as we walked out there, we had a nice big ship power-up come right overhead, and we saw four more ships, like, right after that, flashing at us, making turns. So it's ongoing, and the skies are still active, but it is getting pretty chilly up here. So anyway, if you come up, be prepared, and there's a lot of other things going on. I'm having people asking me over and over again about October 14th. And, you know, the big sighting or the big landing, everybody has a different view on it. And, you know, basically, you know, the way I feel about that is, you know, kudos if it happens. Don't be upset if it doesn't happen. There's definitely massive ships flying over on a regular basis, flying around the planet. They're parked. The ships are running out of parking room. There's so many of them. But they're sitting there, and if they decide, if enough people put their intent on it and focus on that and ask for an experience, there's a very good chance we can set that, you know, intention and make it happen. So I would say, you know, focus all the love and joy and bliss on these beings, send it out to them, tell them we need all the help we can get through these changes, and see what happens. And don't be upset if it doesn't happen on your time frame, because most of them don't have calendars up there. they're operating more on consciousness and energy, and when it's right, you know, when the feeling's right, they move. So they operate a little differently than we do. But anyway, we're totally in support of it, you know, happening if enough people focus on it. But again, you know, it is going to happen. We just don't know. We can't give an exact date on when that's going to happen. There's a lot of other things going on, major changes. We've written about these changes in the books, you know, Becoming Gods and Reunion with Source. All these events that are unfolding now, the social, economic, and earth changes are all unfolding. And it's also in the movie Contact Has Begun. If you haven't seen the movie, the earth changes are very well spelled out there. So anyway, enough of that. You can go to the website and check out all that information at eSETI.org. My guest tonight, I have a very interesting guest. We've had some conversations on the way here. You know, it's quite interesting. We've had a lot of the same experiences. But I want to welcome Andrea Fowkes. Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
All right. And she's from the U.K., and she does intuitive readings and past life regressions. And what else do you do?
I do inner self therapy, past life regression, spirit releasement, aura and chakra work, healing the ancestral timeline. And I kind of made it all into a therapy that I call soul freedom therapy. Mm-hmm.
So basically you do whatever is necessary in the moment.
In my big metaphysical toolbox, because I think you can't just be a one-trick pony. You've got to have lots of things at your disposal for whatever that client needs and whatever that person needs to evolve.
I've seen that over and over where people will come in and, you know, there'll be, let's say, this facilitator or healer, whatever you want to call the person, will have a forte or a program that they've developed, and then they try to fit everybody into that program, and we've been doing that for so long.
And the other interesting thing you see sometimes is you hear these people who just do one dynamic, and then they seem to only attract those kinds of people.
Mm-hmm.
So they keep having the same experience with the clients because that's what they're putting out there. Mm-hmm. So when you kind of open it up bigger, then you open it up to people with all kinds of issues. Because I don't personally think that if you just do past life regression on its own, it's going to be effective. Because half of the time, it won't even be your past life you've seen. Mm-hmm. It'll be an earthbound spirit or an ancestor's past life, and that's why you really need to do the spirit releasement if you want the experience of seeing past life in the whole story unfolding. I personally prefer the effect now where people just, I want to heal, I want to evolve my consciousness, I don't need to see the whole drama story,
That's kind of what we do too, which is a lot of times we'll do past life clearings and, you know, do a lot of other work, pattern removals and things like that. And you know, and sometimes every once in a while somebody will say, hey, where was I in this? And I want to know if I was Cleopatra or not, or
yeah,
I want to know.
Just the ego.
Yeah.
This is the ego wanting the story,
yeah.
Wanting the drama. And, you know, if you're really interested in healing, I mean, I understand that it's lovely to have a story and it's lovely to see the whole story unfold. But once you've done that a couple of times, let's just get on with evolving.
Yeah, yeah. It's you can get caught up in the glamour or the
yeah.
drama of all of it. And it's more important, what are you doing now, you know, with
exactly.
your life? You know, it's like, you know, it's, I mean, it sounds kind of cold in a way to say that, but you know, you look at somebody and their life's a total mess right now, and they're saying that they were this great master teacher or captain of a ship or whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's just their ego, because
yeah.
it can't be true. And I think because we're evolving so quickly now, and you know, the other beings want us to evolve really quickly. They don't want us to be processing this stuff so slowly. So some of the therapies that were created maybe, you know, only 5-10 years ago, they're outdated, they're no longer necessary. They were attunements that were necessary at the
mm-hmm.
time, but we've evolved beyond that, so we don't need to do that anymore. We need to find a quicker way to get the collective consciousness to evolve.
So like the veils between worlds have come down. It's getting much thinner right now. We're in this huge acceleration.
Well, we talked about that earlier. It's like,
yeah.
I think the third to the fifth dimension, I feel like I'm no longer in the third dimension.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not in the fifth either. I'm walking between worlds. And the good thing is, I think, as anyone who's working as a spiritual teacher, your ability to communicate to the masses is the main thing. So you've got to be able to walk between the worlds. It's no
mm-hmm.
use saying, oh, I can't go into that reality.
Yeah.
You know, that's ego. You know, you've
yeah.
got to be able to walk between the worlds, because that's what we all need to be able to do, but to be aware of the consciousness that is the evolving one that we all want to be in, where everything happens in a much quicker time frame. And it's all love and positivity.
Yeah. Well, you know, when people are saying, they're telling you their story, you know, and their story is so full of victim and limitations
yeah.
and all these other things. And you're listening, you know, because you need to listen to their story. But the whole time you're seeing them as this forgotten God that just totally forgot that they're really this powerful manifesting
yeah.
God or goddess.
And
know?
It's that, you know, you're a spiritual being having a physical experience
yeah.
on
yeah.
planet Earth. And you can create whatever reality you want here. If you want to be in the pain body, be in the pain body, but you're going to be a victim and you're going to be sick and ill for quite a long time and you're going to be telling these stories and you're going to be in the drama of your story.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is the thing that we've got to get people to wake up about, is getting out of the drama of their stories.
Yeah, definitely. You know, that's where I see the charge, taking the charge away. You know, it's like a lot of times I can tell a story about something that happened to me and it may be really terrible, you know, but there's no charge in it anymore.
Yeah.
And I just go, well, that was interesting. Yeah, this and this happened, stuff like that. And they go, oh, I'm sorry. And I go, well, I'm not. You know, it's
yeah.
like I gain the wisdom from the experience. I let go of it.
Yeah.
And
I think that's what I try to do. And sometimes they go, but you're telling a story. And I'm like, I'm telling a story because it's got a positive outcome. You call it charge. I just call it, it's got a positive. I turn it around. It's not a story of being a victim at the end of it. It's a story of I learned a lesson. You know, in my own experience, I think one of the biggest things that happened to me to shift consciousness is actually being mugged and strangled and pinned to the floor. That was a great thing that happened to me. You know, because
yeah.
previous to that, I was making a living out of modeling. So
mm-hmm.
it was all external world. And all of a sudden that, it took me a while to realize that that was a significant event. That I think an aspect of my being died at that point, and a more evolved aspect of me came in. And that's happened
mm-hmm.
many, many times through experiences that shift your consciousness. But that gave me the ability to think, oh my God, what am I going to do if I can't make a living out of what I look like? And that was enough to shift my consciousness to start to look inwards, because it's the going inside ourselves that I think a lot of people are frightened of. They know they need to do it, but they don't know how to get in there.
Yeah. So it seems like what we do is we create these scenarios to trigger.
We set them up for ourselves.
Yeah, to trigger what's already in our pain body
yeah.
and to shock us into stepping out of that denial program or whatever else we're running and get on with our own healing work.
Yeah, and you can have a choice to be moaning and drowning in the drama of the negativity, or you can choose to see it in a positive way. And how long you'll stay in that pain is really your free will. And that's,
mm-hmm.
you know, the big thing that we read about is that I think Earth is the only planet of choice where we have free will, and it's our free will that will keep tripping us up, because we will be asserting that free will endlessly.
Yeah. It's like that divine right to redundantly make the same lame decision over and over again.
And I see it in relationships. You know, people are like, I keep meeting all these crap men, all these terrible women. And, you know, why is that? That's because of you. You're drawing these people into your reality. It isn't all these crap people. It's you. And we don't want to believe it, because none of us want to believe. We want to blame everyone else except ourselves. But the only way you can really start to change your life is when you own everything that's ever happened to you.
Yeah.
And if you own it, then you're empowered to change it.
Yeah, what I've seen is that, you know, the real trick is to become the person you want to be involved with, you know.
Yeah.
Rather than expecting that person to come and make your life, you know,
yeah, they're not
going to
change
void,
you.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to be complete in who you are. Nobody else can complete you. You know, this happiness isn't gained from someone else. It's inside you. And once you reach this place of absolute being. There's a really strange experience, I think, that happens, and the Ascended Masters talk about this, is that when you start to evolve consciousness, you get to a point where you actually feel numb. And you think for a minute, hold on, am I shutting down? Because I'm not feeling it. But what's actually happening to you is you're disengaging from the drama. Like, all these people are telling you their stories, but you're not being sucked in anymore.
Yeah.
So it's like you're floating along in this place of just peace and being, like you have when you do a deep meditation, but you're not in meditation, you're actually in consciousness, and you're living this on a daily basis. You're floating along like on a little spiritual hovercraft of your own.
Yeah, I've had that experience myself where just everything becomes interesting. You don't have a judgment around it.
No,
it's good
you're just
or
totally
bad.
Detached.
It just is.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you go, and your whole focus is on, well, where do we go from here? Okay, this happened. Let's release the past.
Mm.
Let's move on. You know, where do we go from here? Like,
And I think one of the key things for humanity at the moment is we all know the truth. We all know it deep inside ourselves. We try to deny the truth, and we try to look in other places outside of us. But you'll be called to do things which will seem scary to you at the time. It might like feel like you need to, you know, leave where you're living. You need to change your job. You need to maybe end a relationship. And it will seem scary, but the whole thing is, that can you show up where you needed to show up? You don't need to know what you need to do when you get there. You just need to show up like I've shown up here.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
You know, we haven't even spoken on the phone. We didn't have a couple
yeah.
of emails. And I knew I needed to show up. And you knew I needed to show up.
So. Yeah, it's funny how that works, if you just trust.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, people ask you all the mental questions. And I always go back to that movie. It was like a cartoon, but it was about the Merlin and King Arthur.
Mm-hmm.
And they had Merlin was saying this boy is going to come in this chair. He's going to end up right in this chair. And he goes right, and he knew when he knew this boy was going to end up in the chair, and that he had something to do with this boy. It was really important. And the owl kept saying, "You're nuts. How's the boy going to end up in that chair? You know, there's nobody out there. There's nothing." And then the kid falls through the tree, falls through the roof, trying to get an arrow and lands in the chair, you know. So
I think I've had experiences with clients where I've said to them, you know, because I've done stuff on TV, a lot you get people who've seen you on TV and they want to come because they've seen that. But I've had clients and I've said to them, "Oh, how did you hear about me? Did you read about me in a magazine? You know, did you see the show?" And they're like, "No." And I'm like, "So how did you know about me? Was it word of mouth?" And they said, "No, listen." I mean, this really made me laugh. Some of them said, "Listen, I've no idea who you are. I was given your name in a dream, and I Googled you, and I'm here. I don't really know much about you." And so I thought, you know, spirit can work in amazing levels if people really tune in.
Yeah, that happens here a lot, too. People come here, and then they just say, I don't know why I'm here, but I know I'm supposed to be here.
Yeah.
And then it all unfolds.
And then you have the best journey because you've surrendered any outcome. You know, I think the great thing is if you project an expectation onto it, you'll often be disappointed. So the whole thing is to surrender into nothing. And then anything can happen. You know, that's been my experience in silly things like, you know, I rent out houses as holiday lets. And I surrender into the outcome that maybe people might trash the place. And the fact that I'm okay with that, they don't actually do it.
Yeah.
And it's like anything in your life. If you surrender into the worst outcome and are actually cool with what the worst outcome can be, it won't happen. It's like if you think, oh, I didn't lock my car. The worst thing that can happen is someone's going to break into your car and take your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If you left things in the car. But if you surrender into the fact, well, if it happens, it happens. It doesn't really matter. It's not going to happen. But you can't fake it. It's like all this stuff.
Yeah.
You literally have to be at 100%. And I think this is where, you know, when we talk about the secret and what the bleep people like go, okay, thoughts become things, they just think positive. But if in the back of your subconscious mind there's a negative videotape running, which is your collective karma and your collective cell memory, then you're going to forever keep tripping yourself up because you'll be a victim of it till you acknowledge it. And then once you're conscious of something, you can surrender and release it.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be difficult to surrender and release things you're not conscious of.
Yeah. You know, I thought, I watched The Secret, and I thought it had a good message in it, but it was kind of it was like almost an infomercial for materialism. Like, you can be happy if you have the big car and the fancy, the wife to die for, you know, and all this other stuff. And, you can be a success by using The Secret, you know, but they forgot a couple little things in there. One was what you were saying, is that you're not going to manifest squat diddly if you have all these fears and unworthinesses and guilt and all these other this other baggage.
Yeah, and some of these
that
stories
you haven't dealt with.
Yeah, that they're not your, you know, I think what people need to understand is you've got the biological lineage and you've got your soul lineage, and they're both as important as each other, and they're running parallel. Yes, the soul lineage is really, really important, which is the collective karma, the past lives, all that stuff that's running. But it's really easy to release this stuff. The biological lineage is the ancestor lineage that you've been carrying on, this, you know, victim mentality, you know, that we see with a lot of people, don't get ideas above your station.
Yeah.
You have to work really hard. You know, success is judged by money. You know, success is judged by academic credentials, which isn't true, you know. And this is what our ancestors have passed on sometimes in some families.
Yeah, I've seen too, it's like a good example. I used my own experience once, but when I was in yoga a long time ago, I used to be really involved in yoga, and the teacher did this manifestation ceremony, and she passed around this sage, you know, and she said, okay, I want you to get really focused on what you want, not world peace, not what do you want personally, and be very clear, and you can get three wishes, and we're going to do this ceremony, and then you have to write it down, and it was a very powerful ceremony, because I realized that what she did was make you focus, get very clear on what you really wanted, write it down, and then you had to speak it out loud in front of everybody to show you how you really felt about it. And then they would burn the sage and it would be like as you wish, you know, and the whole group would put their energy on it. And it was a very powerful ceremony because things manifested. And what I did was I said, okay, and this was like quite a few years ago, and I said, okay, I really want a motorcycle. I've been really having this desire for a motorcycle. And so I said, okay, I want a motorcycle, and then I want to sell this house I had, which was dead. Nothing was moving. I said, I want to sell it full price. I want the guy to want it immediately, and I need to get out of there because I need to sell the house to get the money for the retreat center that I was building here. And then the next thing I said, I want a beautiful woman to come into my life. You know?
And did you get all those three things?
Well, yeah, what happened was...
Well, they have consequences.
Yeah, what happened was I got two broken down motorcycles that I put together and got one to run, you know. The house did sell. I was very specific on the house and what I wanted, and I was very clear with it, and it sold exactly the way I wanted it to, and very fast. And what's funny I did attract this beautiful woman in my life. She was not frequency specific. I mean, she was very clueless. We just did not get along at all, and just nothing worked. And so, but I saw that whole manifestation process it wasn't a failure. Basically, it was showing me.
You got what you asked for?
Yeah, it was showing me what I could accept. And where I was at in consciousness, because I should have said, hey, I want a brand new blue Harley, you know. Or I should have said, I want a woman that's just beautiful, spiritually advanced, frequency specific, you know, that we're compatible, spirit, mind, and body. I should have been really clear on that. And, you know, I was thinking kind of shallow at the time. You know, I just wanted the beauty, you know, so.
Well, I always say, you know, I make it really easy for people. I just say I put out that whatever's for my soul's highest purpose and the highest purpose of all concerns, and leave it at that.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as your ego is detached, because if your ego's projecting, you're saying that, but your ego's thinking other things, then you're going to mess it up.
Yeah.
Your ego's going to project into it all kinds of
all kinds of garbage. Yeah.
And I think this is what people really struggle with, having a pure thought, because we don't realize how messed up our thoughts are.
Exactly.
And how many other thoughts are mingled in with them as well.
You know, I had a real reality check on that because after I had the second near-death experience I came back, I was ultra-sensitive. And I was hearing what people were thinking, feeling their feelings, and then listening to their words, and it was totally not congruent.
It was, they're smiling at you.
Yeah.
But what's really going on is something.
Yeah.
And it's almost like I didn't want to ask them too much about themselves, and I often do this now, and I think sometimes people think, she doesn't ask me much about myself. I'm like, because I don't want to hear coming out of your mouth your lies, because I'm reading your energy field.
Yeah.
I know the truth, I know, and I'd rather not hear the lies.
Yeah. It's interesting. But yeah, it's quite a, and I think about that, you know, with the ultra-dimensionals and the more spiritually and technologically advanced beings, is they do have a hard time being around us because we are so fickle and we don't know how to release the past and we're still carrying old wounds and traumas and grudges and we just don't know how to have fun anymore, just be in bliss, you know, which is, that's their natural state.
But I think then they have compassion for us and we have, must have compassion with ourselves that we're doing the best we can.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
This is, you know, when people are angry and upset with other people, and maybe those people have done what we would call on the third dimension a terrible crime to them or someone else. I said, well, don't forgive their actions, because their actions are probably not forgivable, but let's forgive their soul. If you can forgive their soul and that can help you to get rid of your anger and your fear and your guilt and your pain and whatever it is, then all the cells in your body are going to vibrate differently. Because if you hold on to that anger, you're going to manifest disease and illness within your body. And do you deserve to be a victim of what someone else did to you?
Yeah.
You don't.
I just tell them, enjoy your light review.
I think what I see is so many people at different levels of consciousness. From like what I call the baby level of consciousness to the more evolved. And it's trying to pitch how you speak to them at their level of consciousness, not in a patronizing way, but in a way that's appropriate. I think it was like when we talked in the car when we were driving it, we talked about the collective mass consciousness of either a community or a country. I think that when you're trying to speak to a mass audience, you can only really pitch it a few degrees above where the collective consciousness is at. And I think that happens intuitively when we're guided to speak to a group of people or a workshop or something.
Yeah, I have a bad habit of telling people what they need to hear, not what they want to hear.
And then they go, oh, I don't like that.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, that's been one thing all my life. I've refused to, you know, I moved past that need for acceptance and approval outside of myself. And once I had that, the second near-death experience, I totally merged with the source and experienced that. And I experienced, I was just totally loved unconditionally, and there was no judgment. And I said, well, wait a second, you know, if that's what the source is, or God of many names, whatever you want to call it, this is what it really is, then why does anybody else have the right to, you know, to judge me or say I can't do this or that or anything else? And then I can, and then I go, wait a second, why do I even judge myself? You know, it's like I need to just be authentic from here on out and just be and gain the wisdom from experiences. And we're all going to make mistakes. That's normal. And the only real mistake is if you don't gain the wisdom from the experience and move on. And what I've seen in America as a society, we are insane. We are an insane culture because, you know, look at the, not to get into politics, but you would think we do the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. And the same people, you know, they make the same promises. They get into office. We give them all our power, take care of us, do this, do that. They're going to fix us, you know, take care of us and provide for us. And then the same thing happens. You know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, in the UK, worldwide, I try not to get involved in the drama of politics.
Yeah.
But here, you know, this is a big drama you're all involved in. And the media is, you know, I don't really watch the TV too much because when you do, you get sucked into the drama and, you know, you can feel your heart rate changing and, you know, stress levels increasing. And I don't need that in my reality. Everything's lovely.
Uh-huh.
But here I think, you know, you can create your own reality outside of anything to do with politics and religion and encompass all those things as well. And have, if you can have compassion for accepting that all these realities coexist, but you have the free will to choose whatever reality you want to live in.
Exactly.
You know, we might be going through an economical crisis in the mass consciousness now, but I'm creating abundant reality within my way of being. So if that doesn't apply to me, because I'm living outside that reality.
Mm-hmm. That's the same way. We were talking about that, and they're just really bummed out. And I said, well, that wasn't my world in the first place.
Yeah.
You know, the world that's crashing right now really isn't my world. My world's coming in behind it. And I'm already creating a different world already.
Yeah, so. I'm living in a whole different paradigm. And it's like, when I say to some people, I'm just like, they don't get it. They say to me, well, Andrea, that's great if you believe that your thoughts create your physical body. So if you can think like that, that's great, because then you're going to be healthy. But, you know, that's up to you if you want to think like that. And I'm like, well, if you're saying that's a good way to be, and that if I think like that, I'm going to create a better physical body and less illness and sickness, then why wouldn't you want to be part of that? But they can't see how they're choosing negative thoughts, you know, and they're choosing sickness and illness.
Oh, yeah. And what I've seen, you know, a lot of the illnesses or the problems that we have are coming from such deep levels that we're totally not aware of. And I've seen, too, that affirmations, although helpful, just really don't get to it. You know,
you've got to do the journey work.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I love doing regression with people, because if they're ready, they sometimes need to be guided. You know, I'm creating a sacred space and I'm guiding you on a journey, but at the end of the day, it's you accessing that information and you deciding to release it. I'm just creating a reality for you to do that in.
Yeah.
You know, nobody can heal you except yourself.
Yeah. Because I noticed with I had a lot of problems with my lower back, and I pulled so many spears and swords and backstabbing events out of there, you know.
Because they're energetically held. The flies are still running around your auric field.
Oh, and you know, there's still a couple little glitches in there that haven't totally let go, but it's amazing the depth of what was going on there, and it wasn't just a pulled muscle or a couple vertebrae slipping out, you know, and ballooning out or whatever, that it was so much deeper, and that events in this life triggered it again to happen again. You know, it's been quite a learning experience, and I think that's what it's for. You know,
that's what
these events are for.
Yeah, in this lifetime, I say it's compounded in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
But anything that's happening in this lifetime has got to have had an origin, and the origin is always further back. But because we do spirit release, we're trying to make sure that that origin is totally yours, not someone else's consciousness.
Oh yeah.
It's attached to your vibrational energy field, because the cohesion between an earthbound spirit attaching to your auric energy field is emotion.
Yeah.
And it's always a negative vibration of emotion. They can't really attach through love, because love doesn't work like that. You might say it's love because, oh, it's my gran or it's my mum or my dad. But behind that will be a fear.
Yeah, or a
guilt.
Insecurity or a need or something some kind of... we've talked a lot about that. The only reason anybody has any power over you is because you want something.
Yeah.
So... either want their love or their acceptance or their approval, and those are all things to be found within self, which is what I was talking about with the secret. Why can't you just be happy?
Yeah.
Why do you need all the touchstones, all the material objects to be happy? There's nothing wrong with having material objects, but don't have them rule you or be your self-esteem, you know? It's like...
yeah, it's like, you know, strip everything away and who are you?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, one of my favorite poems in the world is one from a book called The Invitation by Araya Mountain Dreamer. And anyone should read that poem. If you Google it, The Invitation, Araya Mountain Dreamer. That's it. That's the bottom line. That's what you're looking for in yourself and what you're looking for in other people is everything in that poem. And the bottom line is, can you truly be with yourself? And do you like the company you keep in the empty moment? Because it's you. You know, can you be alone? And so many people I see can't be alone. You know, they've got the TV on, the radio on.
Yeah.
You know, they're listening to music. They can't totally be quiet and still with themselves, because then you've got to face yourself.
Yeah. You know, people will come up here and they have these badges, or they have these, you know, I am this, I am that. It's this identification, really, because, you know, ultimately you're nobody.
So I just say I am being.
Being. Yeah, and so I go, you ever tried being nobody? And they go, what do you mean? I said, God, it's so empowering being nobody. There's nobody to defend, nobody to measure up to. You know, just try being nobody. It's so powerful. And they go, well, why would you become nobody? That's nothing. I said, no, because out of nothing comes everything. You know, out of the void comes everything. So it is very powerful. It is very empowering. But I said, it's really interesting when you totally let go of everything and just become nobody. It's so freeing. It's amazing. And you're not your car. You know, you're not your job. You're not your name. You're not any of these things. You know?
The interesting thing is, you can have these things once you can let them go.
Yeah.
Because then you're not attached to them.
Yeah.
And I see a lot of people on the spiritual path, they get to the point where they're trying to work this out. So they're doing no money, poverty.
Oh, yeah.
Doing no possessions. And that's almost like spirituality misunderstood.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we haven't taken a vow of poverty in this lifetime. We don't all have to go live on an ashram.
I did that a few other lifetimes.
Yeah, to find ourselves. You can find yourself right here and now in the comfort of your own home. Mm-hmm. It's lovely to go around the world and connect with the energy spots of the world. But the biggest journey you're going to have is without leaving your house, is to go inside yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And guided meditation. Best way to start, I think.
The way I see it is that, Babaji used to say that the best contribution you can give to society is to live a thoroughly loving, joyous, abundant life.
I just be happy.
And so, you know, abundance seems to be our nature. You know, it's the nature of nature to be abundant. You know, we were talking about that earlier today. We just picked all these plums, and so now I've got them drying, you know, and I've got like, God knows how many, 500 plum seeds sitting here out of one tree. You know, that tree started with one seed. And now I have 500 seeds sitting there and the plums from the 500 seeds. If I put those 500 seeds in the ground, I'm going to have 500 trees plus all the plums that go with them. And the same thing with corn. Like one ear of corn has 500 kernels to it. And that's the abundance of nature. That's our natural... Well, that's the way the universe works.
Yeah, it always provides.
Yeah, but for some reason we've created this manufactured lack, and we've created a society of lack, and it is definitely manufactured, and there are forces behind it. But as a civilization, we need to rise up to say, you know what, it's my God-given right to live abundantly and to live in peace and harmony with each other and the planet. And we're not going to subjugate ourselves or agree with this world anymore. We're going to create a different world. Right.
Well, I say fear. You know, if you think of fear, it's F-E-A-R, fantasized experience appearing real.
Yeah.
It's not real, and yet you're making it a reality. And it's like I said to you, anything that's going on in the world right now, if you can't detach from it, then you're going to have to play that game. Because you're going to be in the drama.
Yeah, that's problem-solution drama.
Yeah.
You know, create a problem, create the fear, really broadcast the fear big and heavy out there, and then come in and say, we're the solution.
Yeah.
And they're hooking everybody with that program. And really, nothing outside of yourself is the solution. It always goes back to self. And if you give your power away, there'll always be those that'll snatch it up and use the betrayal of trust and use it against you. So it all goes back to self-empowerment, taking responsibility, you know, releasing the past, healing, and getting on with it, you know, the reason why we came here.
And I think, you know, where you are here, you're showing people that the veil of illusion between these dimensions is getting thinner because people are seeing things from other planets, other dimensions, other realities. They've always existed.
It's just
the veil of illusion has been a lot thicker, and now it's very thin.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the kind of, I think they're coming here to remind us of who we are.
Yeah.
And to say, wake up, time to wake up, everybody.
Exactly, yeah, they're like cosmic cheerleaders.
Yeah, they're like, yay, you can do it.
We're going through this massive quantum leap, you might say, in evolution or consciousness. Everybody has a different name for it. But I think they're here as cheerleaders to help us make that jump and let us know there's much more to the universe than
and I think what they're doing is, it's an awful word to say, but like they're the bullshit detectors.
Yeah,
they're
yeah.
almost making us see, that's not real, it's a lie, it's an illusion. And
yeah.
what I'm seeing with people, even in England, is they're going, hey, we're living in a multidimensional reality. And these are people who wouldn't normally say that.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying, I think we're being lied to. And I'm like, yes, you're waking up, you're seeing it.
Yeah.
You know, what better choices are you going to make for yourself now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you going to choose, you know, pharmaceutical drugs over, you know, just changing your thoughts?
Mm-hmm.
you know, and you have the free will, and I understand if people can't change their thoughts, then they're better off to go down that road, and, you know, there's still a need, you know, for people to go to hospital and have those experiences if that's in their reality. And I think it's to be open to all those experiences, but to know there's other options as well. And I think when we see complementary medicine as the last port of call, that really makes me sad. I wish it was the first port of call.
Yeah, I've worked with biophysicists and things like that, and they always say, you know, food should be your medicine, and it all begins in consciousness, so.
And also, we were talking earlier about raw food, live food, but also, it doesn't matter what you eat, because we talked about you can eat anything. I think if you're making food with anger, then you're giving people anger to eat.
If you're judging it as bad for you,
it is bad for you. You know, if you're living in a house with someone who's really angry and they're making your food, one, you could make your own food. But two, if they've done that, just put your thought, your hands or your energy over the food and just
change it.
Change the energy. It's so simple.
Or this is going to make me fat, or this is going to do this, or this is, you know. Because I've known people that are so awake, they're resonating at such a high frequency, and they live on cappuccinos and cigarettes.
Yeah.
And you go, boy, they should be dead, you know, but it doesn't enter the cell. It's just burnt. Whatever they put into the system, it just becomes fuel. And you know, there's old stories about that where yogis will eat something and then send that consciousness over to another person to feed them, you know. And so it does go back to consciousness, as you can transfer the thought, you know, and the substance or whatever. You can. There's all kinds of self-mastery techniques around that.
Yeah, I mean, I had the experiences with that when, you know, and it was, sometimes you have the experiences so you can shift the consciousness, which is, I cut my finger open and I thought, oh, I should take some homeopathic remedy for, you know, having just chopped my finger open. Mm-hmm. And I spoke to my friend who's a homeopath on the phone, and he said, oh, order it now and it'll be there tomorrow for you. And we couldn't do that. And I thought, you know, he's just told me the prescription. Maybe I just need to put a glass of water over the prescription and take the energy of the prescription. I don't physically need the medicine. Mm-hmm. And I think it works.
You know, it does. In Native American philosophy, they do sweat lodges.
And
a lot of times the water, you know, they'll take some water and they'll put it up there and they'll ask the elders or, you know, people to bless the water. And the spirits bless the water with the healing, whatever needs to happen. And then that person, they'll do prayers over somebody that's really ill or whatever. And then they drink the water afterwards and they get well. And it's amazing because the water does hold consciousness.
Well, it's like Masaramoto. I don't know.
Yeah.
We've probably read that book. But
if
they haven't, it's Masaramoto's Messages in Water.
Yeah.
And he's done all the research into showing you the vibration of water, you know, the words, the positivity from different areas of the world, the vibration of the water.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And it proves that we're 80% water. So, you know, how we think is really important.
Oh, it is. It's definitely good. You know, I work for a water company for quite a few years where they crystallized oxygen. Mm. And they actually changed the frequency of the water and turned into a microhydrant. And it's just amazing what it does. It's like prana in a bottle. When you drink it, it hydrates the body.
Yeah.
And it clears out all the garbage, you know, out of your system. It even draws everything out of the cell. Mm. But just amazing stuff. You know, seeing that water, how important water is, and on the flip side, seeing what we're doing to the water is pretty insane, you know. So, you know, I just think about that. I think it all boils down to, it always goes back to consciousness. And if you're awake, you wouldn't do what we do to the planet. You know, we would see the creator in all creation, and we wouldn't be poisoning the air and the water and the land and everything else. And ignorant of the fact that comes around. You know, what goes around comes around. So, you know, it's amazing, but what I see is everybody's fighting it on the level, the physical level.
I think it goes back down to, I think Mother Teresa said a fantastic statement, because she would never go on any anti-war rally.
Yeah.
She wouldn't put her energy into anything negative, but she would go on a pro-peace thing. And I think that's it. We just need to put our energy not into fighting negative things. Ignore those.
Yeah.
Ignore all the politics and all that stuff that's going on. Just be positive. and put your energy into positive things. And this is why I decided to do World Peace Meditation Day, and I set that up for the 21st of September, which was the first year this year. And hopefully everyone will join in at 11 a.m. in any time zone you're in on the 21st of September. You can do it every week if you want.
Yeah.
And I put a free meditation for people to download on my website.
Because
I thought we literally need, Marianne Williamson says we need 11% of the population. I've heard quantum physicists say we need less than 11% of the population to shift the consciousness for the whole of humanity. But if we all join in together and we all realize we're all a family, it's like the family of light.
Yeah.
You know, there is no difference between us, and that's the great thing about regression, is you see that you could be any socioeconomic background, any colour of skin, any gender. You know, you can't judge anybody else, because ultimately you're judging yourself in the past and the future.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, I always tell people, why do people identify with cultures and religions and the body? You know, because it's just one of many suits you've jumped into.
Yes, it's convenience.
Yeah, and I've had full memory of most of my past lives, and I've been black, and I've been Chinese, and I've been, you know, Middle Eastern, and I've done all of it. You know, I've done every culture, and I have full memory of it. And what's funny is sometimes when I meet somebody of another culture, it kicks in. You know, it's automatic, and I just feel it. But
that happened to me, because, you know, as I said to you, I've just been on this big journey. I've been in Sedona for a month and a half, then I was in Hawaii.
Uh-huh.
And I was hanging out with Japanese people in Hawaii, and the funny thing is, the first day I got there, I was on this big table. I've never been, like, the only non-Japanese person.
Oh, yeah.
And we did this prayer, and I was like, I know this prayer so well. Like, I couldn't, and it was, like, triggering me back into this past life just by the remembrance of saying this prayer in Japanese. You know, and that's what happens, you know, which is it triggers the consciousness to remember something, and that's when the past life then pops up.
Mm-hmm. I really think, and it's been proven basically, that all humanity in their heart of hearts pretty much want the same thing.
Yeah, we all want love.
Yeah, we all want love, and we want to live in peace and harmony, and, you know, we want abundance, we want to be able to take care of our families and things like that. And we pretty much all want the same thing, but it seems like these other institutions and governments, religious institutions, seem to be redirecting, you know, us in different directions as collectives. And so there's all these many collectives that are misidentifying with their culture and their body. And if they all started identifying with the spirit, they'd realize that we all came from the same source and we all return to the same source and we're all family and the Creator's omnipresent.
Yeah.
In me and you and every body, every earth suit that's out there, so why don't we behave accordingly?
Yeah, the thing that shocks me the most about war and fighting is that, you know, when you're at school, if you hit another person at school, you probably might get expelled or sent home for that behavior, and you might be 12 or 13, but give it another 2 or 3 years, and we're going to pay you to go and fight and kill people you don't even have a personal agenda with.
Or make you president.
It seems nuts to me. You know, why would someone want to not see the correlation between that and want to participate in that negative drama?
Well, you know, it's funny because they hold that up as a badge. You know, I serve God and country, and I did this, and I did that, and I go, what is it about thou shalt not kill that you didn't understand? Was there a denim in there that said, unless you're a Muslim, unless you're sitting on top of our oil, or, you know, what are all the addendums in there? You know, it's like...
from regressing people, what's been interesting is I see a lot of people going back to past lives where they died fighting in a war, and when their soul leaves their body, because what's really important and what's significant when you're regressing people is it's not really the story of what happens in your life that's important, it's what you take with you at the point where your soul leaves your body. What were your thoughts? What did you learn? What decisions did you make? Do you have any regrets? That's what's really important. And the ones who died in wars and battles are often really angry. They felt betrayed. They felt they'd been conned into this kind of war. This is, you know, past lives quite a few, especially World War One and World War Two.
Kind of like this war.
They were naive. They were naive young men. They were sent out to do this. They didn't realize the actual physical reality of what they were going to see. And so it made them all kind of difficult to die, the soul to leave their body, and they got earthbound. So this is why we still have a lot of earthbound consciousness over planet Earth, you know, because we've got lots of battles, lots of fighting that's gone on, And these souls are still earthbound. That's why we have Remembrance Sundays and those events, because they're really important to help those earthbound spirits move on.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah, some of those events are a process that some people come back in to be in a war so they can finish their process or whatever. So, but we're all eternal souls doing our things. But yeah, I think it's time we just start behaving ourselves. It's a lot more fun. To me, what brings me the greatest joy of all is service and helping others heal the past and release the past. And nature. Those are the two things that really bring me the most joy, is being out in nature and helping people release the past and heal. And I thought about that, and I really think it brings you a lot of joy. It brings you a lot of just self-worth. You feel better. You feel better about yourself, everything. And you really look at that life path, and then you look at the other life path and go, okay, what is this doing for me? You know, here I don't like what I'm doing. I'm harming the planet or people in some way. I'm doing this because I have to do it, because I have payments to make. I'm locked into doing things I don't really feel right in my soul doing. All these other programs that are running out there, are just, I think it's just time to change the program.
Yeah, unplug from that reality and plug into it. And you have to have trust and faith. That's the thing
you
really need to encourage in people, is the trust and the faith that they will survive beyond this. Because, you know, I think the thing is having compassion with the journey that they're going to go on, which is you're going to take them out of their comfort zone. They're going to be going to a whole new home. It's going to be a fantastic home.
Yeah, yeah.
But they don't know this path. They've never been to this place of, you know, peace and being and positivity. And it's like, you know, when you see children taken away from parents where it's maybe been an abusive relationship and the authorities have stepped in to take the child away, you see the child cling to the parent because it's what it knows, even though it might be an abusive situation,
people
cling to that. And we're just like that child. We cling to the negativity. We cling to the dysfunctional relationships where we're being beaten up or verbally abused, and, you know, whether it's physical abuse or verbal abuse, it's all abuse.
Yeah.
And we cling to that which we know, but it doesn't mean it's healthy and positive, you know, for us. We've just got to move away from that and trust the path ahead. And what I say to people is, when you get in a car at night and the rain's lashing down at the windows and you've got the windscreen wipers going on, you don't go that much slower. And you carry on driving and you have absolute faith that the road continues. And that's really metaphorical of your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And hopefully
the road will carry on and you will get to your destination.
Hopefully something big doesn't run out.
Right? Yeah. And you know, that's how we need to see our lives. And we need to have compassion, I think, with ourselves.
Yeah.
Because once we can have compassion and forgive ourselves, because no one beats us up more than we do.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you're carrying something, you drop it on the floor, and listen what comes out of your mouth. You know, most of us are saying, oh, you stupid idiot, what did you do? Who's abusing you? You.
Yeah,
you're
yeah,
abusing you.
Yeah.
Nobody says anything worse to you than you probably say to yourself. And, you know, I try to get people to look in the mirror and stand in front of the mirror. And you can stand there as long as you want. And I want you to say these three things. I love you, thank you, I'm sorry to yourself. And you could add in a fourth, I forgive you to yourself. And how long can you stand in the mirror? And for a lot of people, it's really difficult. I mean, people at home could maybe go and do this, if, you know. And you will probably start crying after a few minutes.
Yeah.
But I want you to do that to a point where you can stand there and look at yourself and truly mean it and smile and not cry.
Forgive the others that you've drawn into you for your co-created reality, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. The it seems like it's an exciting time that we're in.
Yeah, oh, I think it's really exciting because we're manifesting things so quickly.
Yeah.
So it's really important to just think positive and manifest only positive experiences.
You know, a lot of people talk about, you know, their lives as yogis and lamas and stuff. And I've done all that myself. I have memory of it. But, you know, I also hacked off heads, you know, as a Viking warrior. And I know what created me that way, why I became that way. And it was usually from really severe pain of what, having my family killed in front of me and things like that turned me into this just a vicious warrior. So I understand why the emotions that would turn somebody that way or how they got to become that way and things like that. And it allows me to forgive people and understand people. And when you greet people with that understanding, they usually heal versus come after you. You know, they don't pick their act up and come after you. when you're just focusing love and compassion on them and say, I understand, you know, they...
People find it really easy, I think, to forgive other people. But the important thing is to forgive yourself.
Yeah.
And I think this is what people really struggle with, is forgiving themselves. You know?
And taking responsibility for creating that mess. You know?
Yeah.
That's
it's always me with someone else. But, it is you. It was you, and if it is you, you can change it. I mean, this is the reoccurring thing. You can change whatever reality you've created. You just need to show up to know what to do to change things.
We have a joke here. It's funny because when I always set stuff down, I can't find it sometimes. I lose things here. And so it's kind of a joke around here with the other people. I blame somebody for it right away because I know instant karma works for me, and I find it immediately. And so it's kind of a joke, you know, with some of the people. I go, okay, where'd you put it? I know you took it like this. You know, I didn't take it like this. And then I start laughing. And all of a sudden, that person usually knows where it is. They go, I know where it is. I know where you left it. You know, it's kind of funny. It's like a joke. But it's like using karma in reverse, you know, but I noticed that before. Whenever I got into blame or whatever, you know, pointing the finger, that, you know, there's always three pointing back at you. And so if, as a joke, I'd go and blame somebody just so I could find it. You know?
Yeah.
It was kind of funny. It worked. You know, usually it would show up like right away.
Well, that reminds me,
karma.
You know, people who, you know, because we talked about other people coexisting in other realities,
yeah.
We've not really talked about the elementals.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I've not personally ever seen, you know, pixies or fairies or
the borrowers.
Like that.
Yeah.
But I know they exist.
Yeah.
And I know that if you're not honoring them, you know, they'll move your stuff and hide things for you. And I'm aware when that's pixie or fairy energy, and I'm aware when people have pixies and fairy energy attached to them. They
uh-huh.
all do exactly the same thing, and they don't know this. But they all giggle like hyenas
mm-hmm.
when I kind of go, okay, who's attached? And I intuitively know who it is.
Yeah.
And they all start going, and, you know, you always bring in, like, Saint Germain or Merlin, which is the same energy, to come and take them back to where they've come from.
Yeah.
And what they seem to do with people is, when they're attached, is they tend to send people kind of round in circles
mm-hmm.
so they don't really... getting ahead in life. They're going round and round in this little circle. And what I found out was that most people have picked these up in childhood.
Mm-hmm.
They may have had siblings, you know, brothers or sisters, but they've usually had a part of their life where they felt very lonely.
Yeah.
Or there's been an element of jealousy, sibling rivalry or something. And that seems to be in what I've experienced with people, that
mm-hmm.
that's when they pick these fairies and pick these things up. And there's good elementals and there's
bad elementals.
That's the risk with everything.
Well, I had one here. We had a being here, and when I first got here, they were really abusing the land. There was a lot of problems here. And I was standing on this big boulder, and the boulder split right in half.
Mm-hmm.
And it was lava, and you can tell if there's a crack in lava because you see water spots and stains and things. It was fresh. This rock split and sent me down into the river almost. And I looked at that rock, and I go, That wasn't right, you know, whatever, that wasn't normal at all. And then I found out later there's a lot of, when I first got here, there's some problems. And there is one of the masters told me there's a gnome here that was really pissed off at what was being done here because they weren't respecting the property and they're doing a lot of logging. They left trash everywhere when I first got here. And so, you know, we made peace with them and told them what we were going to do and asked if they'd help us. And they're all for it.
I think that's what I've become very aware of. You know, I spend a lot of time in England in a place called Glastonbury.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a kind of our spiritual centre.
Yeah.
And we really respect the ancestors. And I noticed that in Sedona, you know, people really respecting the ancestors and the land. And the same in Hawaii, from just coming from there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really important.
Yeah, you have to do that. You have to work with the land and work with the energies on the land. You know, we've run out of time, unfortunately. I'll have to have you back on the show. It's been an awesome interview.
It's been great.
Can you give your website real fast?
Yeah, my website's obviously www.andreafouts.co.uk, and that's AndreaFoulkes.
Great. And I'll have that up on the radio show as well. I'll put the website up there so people can get it. But anyway, I guess we've run out of time. We're going to run out and see some ships and join the rest of Skywatchers. And this is James Galen signing off with As You Wish Talk Radio. Have a great evening. Good night.